Good morning. It's 6:37. Let's say good morning today to Tom and Christy Flick Mattis, all the way from just Eau Claire on the other side of the state. That's not too far away. That's where you are, right, Eau Claire?
Yes, that's where we're at.
Okay. Now you just did a whole world tour. You toured Europe, and that's not what we're going to talk about today. But it just while we're starting out here, you still exhausted?
We're catching up. We're still waking up on Europe time every morning, ready to go. So that's helping, though.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's a beautiful time of year to go there.
So we're on Eau Claire time now, which is the same, I think, as Racine time. So I think we should be good. Okay, good. Okay, what's that?
Don't confuse us anymore with the time. We're still messed up.
Okay. The reason we're talking is Tom and Christy wrote a book called Secret Wisconsin, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. Now, my wife and I were reading the book, and I have her read all books to me. Every time we get a book, she reads it to me because she's such a great reader, and she doesn't stammer, make mistakes, and just keeps reading and puts a nice inflection into it. So she does all my reading. And by the way, for Christmas, I got her the book Little Women. We're going to read that book, too. Because we saw like 5 movie versions of it. Now we're going to read the book finally. All right, Secret Wisconsin, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. Before we get to some of the items in the book, why'd you write it?
Well, we love quirky things, and we love things that just don't show up on the first few pages of like a Google search. And we just had a list in our head of all these things around Wisconsin that people don't know about, not necessarily. It just doesn't come to the forefront. So we love sharing them. We just want to share them with everyone.
Now, I'm not from here originally, but I have lived here about 45 years, so that's pretty good. Some of these things I never heard of. Some I did, because we visited some of them, but some I've never heard of before. Let's start off with not John Dillinger, but Al Capone's house in Wisconsin with machine gun turrets and everything on the house. Let's talk about the Al Capone house.
Oh, that's serious. So he lived there, and, not all the time, part time, but when he came up. And he, one of the things that we really liked that we found interesting was his property had a private lake. And during Prohibition, he would fly his booze in from Canada and on float planes, and they would land on his private lake. Then he would load the trucks, then ship it to Chicago. So we thought that was kind of neat.
And the other thing is everybody had speculation where his house was. And for us to write about it, we had to go out and find it and research it because we wanted to make sure we had the right place. And we found it, and we went out there on a really snowy afternoon, and it was something to see. It was the gates are there. It's abandoned, and there's no trespassing signs all around it. We were able to get a nice glimpse of it because our son happens to be a drone pilot. So yeah, that was quite interesting.
But somebody must own it, though.
Well, supposedly, from what I could find in records, the local Native American reservation owns it.
Okay.
And they haven't done anything with it.
Now, you said there was a little thing on the roof for machine guns, I guess, to protect Al from his friends. It was there on the roof, which that's kind of scary. Now, did you say he had a brother living in Wisconsin as well? It was a... I guess
he did.
He wasn't a gangster. Yeah.
No, but from what we could understand, he was hiding out, and he owned and operated the Rex Hotel in Mercer up until the mid 70s.
You know,
and then he died, and that's quite interesting.
Yeah, he died in 1970. You said, and Well, after his brother, Al Capone died in his 40s. He wasn't an old guy. Everything he did, his entire life was done within 20 years of his life because he started this crime spree in his early 20s. He died in his mid or early 40s. And so everything he did in this entire life, all the chaos, was done within a short period of time. It wasn't that long. And then he died, I think, of syphilis. Yeah.
Right. And that's amazing that all the chaos, and he's still in history, but his brother was well-loved in the community. I mean, he was a popular guy.
Yeah,
he was somewhat straight compared to Al.
Yeah, he was. He was, but he still, the IRS was still after him for years and years because he never claimed any revenue from the bar in the hotel.
He dumped cash.
Yeah, it was all cash.
Yeah.
I went to his gravesite in Chicago. It's at the cemetery in my mind here. He's buried there with a couple of other mobsters as well. Al Capone, the whole family's buried there, and people leave little trinkets on his grave, like little bottles of whiskey and cigars and stuff on his gravesite. I'll remember the, as soon as I don't want to think about it, I'll remember the name of the cemetery. It's just outside Chicago. All right, let's talk about one of the greatest rock and roll singers of the 1960s, Otis Redding. And he died in Madison on Lake Monona. Let's talk about Otis Redding sitting on the dock of the bay.
Right. So there is a memorial stone on top of the Monona Terrace.
Monona Terrace.
There's a bar area, and right on top, and there's a beautiful overlook of the lake, and there's a memorial there. And I'm not sure if we can see the exact location where the plane crashed from there. I think most people walk by it and don't even know it's there. They probably don't even read it. They probably trip over it, really, because it's right in the middle of the walkway.
Yeah, and he was ready to do a concert, and people at the concert venue, you said, didn't know that he was killed, and they're waiting for him to take the stage. But here's the interesting part I read in your book. The name of the group, the opening act, was a group called the Grim Reapers, who later changed their name to somebody we know, Cheap Trick.
I know, and that's one of my favorite facts about the Otis Redding thing.
Yeah.
How ironic that they were called the Grim Reapers at the time.
Yeah. Now,
whenever we hear a Cheap Trick song, we automatically, have a comment.
I mean, that's a good trivia question. The opening act was the Grim Reapers, who later changed their name to Cheap Trick. Hey, we're talking to Tom Manis and Christy Flick Manis. They wrote the book Secret Wisconsin, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. When we get back here on the other side, a very famous president used the bathroom in Upper Wisconsin. I can't wait to hear this story. We'll tell you who it was and why it's so memorable. That's coming up in just a moment right here. Local news, timeless, it's WRJN. And with me this morning, we're talking to Tom Manis and Christy Flick Manis. They wrote the book, Secret Wisconsin, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. We're talking about some of the items in the book. By the way, it's very well written, and the way it's presented is when you turn to a page, that's it. You got the left and the right side, and the next page has another story, and the next page has another story. It's not continued on from page to page. It's very well written, very well put together. Let's talk about a very famous president, John F. Kennedy, who was in northern Wisconsin, used the bathroom at this bar and grill, and now it's a shrine. Let's talk about that.
It is. Well, first of all, it's our book is family friendly, and this is the thing that's probably on the outermost edges of family friendly because it's a dive bar. I mean, you just can't get around it. But yeah, he was campaigning. And,
In 1960,
and he was outside on the street campaigning, and went in. Someone bought him a beer, and he had to use the restroom. And now they have a plaque on the restroom, and I don't think the restroom has changed since then. It looks like it's still the same. Everything's the same in there, and they have a plaque on the door to go in to see the urinal. And yes, I have used the same urinal that John F. Kennedy has. Christy hasn't, thank goodness. and then they also have a little display inside of the the glass that he drunk his beer with and some newspaper articles and like a little memorial to that, too. So it is quite interesting.
Definitely worth a stop if you're in Spooner.
Yeah, that's where it is. It's in Spooner. Now, you actually have in the book the address of all these places. We're not going to read the addresses now. But if you, there's a little shaded spot in each story. It tells you the cost, if it's free to visit, where it is, the exact address, and if it's still there. And that's good, because if you're doing traveling around the state, that's what you need to know. Now, did you ever hear people talk about the 6 degrees of separation between people in this world? You've heard of that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I am 1 degree away from John F. Kennedy, and I'll explain it to you. There's a frequent guest I have on the show here. Her name is Nell Minow. She works for RogerEbert.com, and she also has her own movie reviewing site. Her dad was appointed commissioner of the Federal Communications Commission, the chief commissioner, in 1961 when John F. Kennedy took office. Nell sent me a photo of her as a little girl standing next to John Kennedy on one side, her sister and her mom and dad on the other side. So she shook hands and took a picture with John Kennedy. So I'm 0 degrees away from Nell Minow. She knew John Kennedy. That's 1 degree away from John Kennedy. How's that?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Your urinal story may be a little closer than me, though. I'm not sure who's got that extra degree of separation. Let's talk about the pancakes from another world. I don't know if I buy this story, but it's a good story. Why don't you tell us about it?
It is a good story. In 1961, Joe Simonton was sitting at his kitchen table when a UFO landed in his backyard. And curious as he was, he went out to investigate, and they opened the door of the UFO, and they motioned that they needed water. Now, obviously, they didn't speak English, and Joe figured out that it was water they wanted. And he went and got some water for them, brought it back to them, and glanced into the UFO, and they were cooking. And the aliens, if you want to call them that, handed him some pancakes. Of all things, pancakes. I mean, it just seems so far-fetched. And then they left. And Joe called the authorities, and they came out, and to this day, the Air Force still has that case as unsolved.
Now, they did analyze the pancakes, right?
They did, and they did find that they were made of American or earthly materials. But they still, it's still open.
Go ahead.
Going on that period, too, there was some Air Force plane crashes. The whole area went without power. So there was a lot of strange things that were probably coincidence, but they were all happening at the same time.
I mean, everybody's got a UFO story, almost everybody. But this one has a lot of documentation, a lot of government documentation to kind of back it up. So it's kind of fun.
It is a fun story.
What do you think? you buy the pancake story?
I don't buy the pancakes as much, but I do buy all the other things that are going on. And the fact that the Air Force still has it as an open case still makes me wonder a little bit.
Now, Culver's is probably nationwide now. I think they're all over the place. But they started, I think, in the Dells or Baraboo, somewhere around there was the first Culver's. They still get their cheese curds right here in Wisconsin. Let's talk about the cheese curd story.
They do. There's a small cheese factory, LeGrander's Hillside Dairy, and it's not too far from us in Eau Claire. And it's in Stanley. Yeah, it's in the middle of nowhere, really. I mean, there's nothing around, like a lot of good cheese factories. But they exclusively make the cheese curds for Culver's, and then they ship those cheese curds off to the breading plant, and then they ship those then to Culver's. But the thing about that is it's a family own business. I think they're on the third, maybe the fourth generation now. And they also have master cheesemakers in the family. Now, you know that's a big deal because there's only two places in the world where you can obtain a master cheesemaking certificate, which is also known as a PhD in cheese, Switzerland and Wisconsin. And so they send them out, and then Culver's repackages them. So I got the average weight, and I calculated if you were to buy, or you know, a bag of cheese curds, how many bags it would sell. So it comes down to they produce enough cheese curds for 21 million bags of deep fried cheese curds for Culver's each year. One little bag at a time. But that's crazy though, because it's, if you see it, it's just a small cheese plant. But the thing is too, they also make a lot of other cheese for well-known brands that you know out there too. So it's a good, you know, they have a good mix of stuff. But a lot of people don't know that, that actually, you know, it is from a Wisconsin cheese factory and not like mass produced at, you know, like a global corporation or something. So that's good. And we like to support local as much as we can.
So my wife and I are reading this last night. It's about 8:30. And I said, you know what? They're still open. Why don't I run over there and get some cheese curds after talking about it so long? Before we take the top of the hour break, let's talk about something that's literally right down the block for me here. I can walk to it. Yeah, you call it the designed white elephant. It's the SC Johnson building. It's right down the block from here. As I could walk to it if I wanted to. Let's talk about that.
Okay, so SC Johnson, I mean, how many people drive past it every day? And maybe they don't know the story. But it's a Frank Lloyd Wright designed building. But it's not used anymore. And it's really difficult to get in, to get a tour. I think, can you, Christy, do you remember if you still take a tour?
I can't remember. Time we were there, you couldn't.
You're talking about the building with the lights, right? The tower with the lights.
Yeah.
You were able to get in there when they redid it. They gave it a whole refurbishing, and they allowed tours. Now, a very good friend of mine actually gives tours at SC Johnson. I have to ask him if you can still get into that building or not. I see it every morning on the way in. It's all lit up.
Yeah, it's a really cool building inside and out. But Frank Lloyd Wright designed it, and they're not using it now. It's empty inside.
It's lit up.
So beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, they just have lights in it now. It's just a lit tower. It's really pretty to look at when you're driving by at night. But you're right. There's no purpose to it other than it's just there.
Right. And they're just, you know, keeping the upkeep. And I guess you just don't want to get rid of it, I guess. But it is a cool building. I wish they would open it up and give regular tours.
Well, here's a little tip, though. The guy in the gate, the security guard in the gate, will tell you everything you would ever want to know about that building. I think he's probably been working there forever, and he's a wealth of information.
Well, a good friend of mine, he's also the 4th District Alderman here in Racine. I'm going to text him during the break here and find out, because he gives tours on at SC Johnson. He gives tours of the whole facility, but I'm going to see if you can get in there to that lit tower. Other than just lit up, you're right. I don't know what purpose it serves, but it's there. And I pass it every morning on the way to work. It's right there. We are talking to Tom Manis and Christy Flick Manis. They wrote the book, Secret Wisconsin, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. We talked about some of my favorite stories in there. Coming up on the other side of the news, we're going to talk about some of your favorite stories. And we're not going to run out because you got, I don't know how many you have in this book here, but it seems it's never ending. There's just a ton of them. By the way, how do you get the book? Let's talk about that right now. If somebody wants to pick it up, how do they get it?
You can get it anywhere. You know, Books a Million.
Barnes and Noble has it. Amazon, Target.
Your local independent bookstore. Now, we recommend your local independent bookstore, and if they don't have it in stock, they can order and have it really quick. So that's not a problem.
And
You can also get it from our publisher, ReedyPress.com.
Right.
Yeah.
They have.
Go ahead.
it looks like no tax and also free shipping.
Yeah, I'd like to support local bookstores if I can, because, you know, Amazon makes enough money. But and if you could have and we have a lot of local bookstores here in the Racine area, so it's always easy to pick one up. All right, so we're talking to Tom and Christy. We've got more stories to tell you guys. Take a little 5-minute break, okay? And get your coffee, relax, sit back, pick out some of your favorite stories, and we'll have those on the other side. Again, Tom and Christy talking to us this morning about Secret Wisconsin, a guide to the weird, wonderful, and obscure right here in our state, all within a day's driving distance. Some are closer than others, so we'll talk more about that coming up. It's 7 o'clock here at WRJN Local News, Timeless Hits. Pleasant good morning on a Friday. My guests are Tom Manis and Christy Flick Manis. They wrote the book Secret Wisconsin, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. We're talking about some of the stories in there. Before we begin, we talked about that Frank Lloyd Wright Tower at SC Johnson here in Racine, and you didn't know if it was open for tours. Remember that?
Right.
Well, I have an answer for you. Dave Mack, who's our 4th District Alderman, he also gives tours of SC Johnson. He wrote back, yes, you can tour it. The SC Johnson tour consists of the Frank Lloyd Wright designed administration building and the research tower, third floor and third floor mezzanine, and I hope I'm saying this right, the Fortaleza, I know I'm mispronouncing that word, hall. But yes, you can tour it. So there you go. We got an answer for you.
Good.
Yeah.
So recall every copy of that book and handwrite in, yes, you can tour it.
Okay. Keep us busy.
I'm gonna send my copy back to you. I want you to fix that. Anyway, so okay. We're talking about some of the obscure things around our state. This is all Wisconsin. But before we get to your favorite ones, and I think, what do you have, like 168 stories in this thing? I think it's a lot. Something like that.
There's 84.
84?
And one of the things that we love about that is that each one comes with at least one and sometimes up to three color pictures.
Yes.
Because we're big.
Yeah. There were pictures for everything in there. And when my wife was reading it to me last night, she said, here's a picture. It was like grammar school where they hold up the book and they show you the picture.
Well, that's funny, though, because we're road trippers. That's what we do. That's what we love. But Christy does that. When we go on a road trip, she usually has a book or two, and she reads the highlights, and so we all get to hear it.
You know,
how we read books.
I was about to say, before we have like a quarter of a second delay on this phone. That's why we talk over one another. My wife and I are road trippers as well, and before COVID, we used to travel the whole country. We took a week off and just headed out, but she planned out every possible moment of the trip. So instead of going from A to B, we went from A to B to D to E to F to G. We stopped at all these places. And there's a lot going on in this country that people don't know about. And it's a lot of fun things to do. And if you want to take some day trips or weekend trips around Wisconsin, here it is. I have to talk to you about two more of mine, then we could talk about yours. Let's talk about the bubbler. Now, the reason I bring that up is in 1980, when I first moved here, my daughter was newborn, and she was sick. I went to the doctor, and they said, I need a drink of water. Where's your water fountain? She goes, the bubbler's down the hallway. I said, yeah, but I want the water fountain. Yeah, the bubbler. I said, what's a bubbler? I had no idea what she was talking about. So let's talk about, is that just a Wisconsin thing?
It is. That's so funny because Christy is from the Madison area. I am from the South, but I got here as fast as I could. And but when we met, we've been married for over 29 years. But when we met, she was talking about a bubbler. And I'm just like, what in the world is a bubbler? Why do you call it that? It was just the weirdest thing. I'm like, that is just weird. So that's funny.
But it's not just Wisconsin. We would like to think that it is. But parts of Australia use the term bubbler. And so does Rhode Island.
Well, when I go to Australia, then I'll know what they're talking about, right?
That's right.
And the capital has an old bubbler on their grounds. And I've seen firsthand now, you know, why I think they call it, there's a round ball that the water comes over, which I've never seen anywhere else in the world.
Well, my first bubbler was at the doctor's office. And I didn't know what that nurse was talking about. And I went down the hallway and he said, well, here's the water fountain. Where's the bubbler? What is she talking about? Hey, I want to get to this story because my wife and I did a weekend trip to Door County. And we're driving by. We see these goats on the roof of this restaurant. And I said, what is that? And now I know because I read it in your book. Let's talk about the goats on the roof.
Well, that's kind of funny. You know, that a lot of people do know about that in Wisconsin, but they don't see it. But that's one of the wonderful things about Wisconsin, because Wisconsin is quirky. We have lived all over the country and have been all over the world. And, you know, Wisconsin has got to be the quirkiest state. So at Al Johnson's, they have the goats on the roof. They're seasonal, but they have their own goat squad, and they send them up, and, you know, they eat the grass and hang out, and every day they bring them in and take them out.
But they only work from 9 to 3.
I know.
And they're divas. They're very, very, I don't even know the word for it, princesses, because they won't work if the weather isn't pristine for them.
Well, they're union. The union goats.
That's probably it, yeah.
They have a union contract with the restaurant. And they can only go up there certain days. But you could see it if you go to Door County. I think you said it was in, what bay is it? Sister Bay? Sister Bay, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you could see them. You drive by down the street, and my wife said, look on the roof. I said, whoa, there's goats up there. I didn't expect it. I didn't know what to look for. Let's talk about some of your favorite stories in the book, Secret Wisconsin, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure.
So you're close to Kenosha, and, you know, we love that area. And
there's a thing in Kenosha, I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, but you can get Friday fish fry, but in the morning.
So Friday morning fish fry.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
It's at Oliver's Bakery. And starting at 7:30 in the morning, people actually line up to get their fish and shrimp. So you can go and get a donut and your fish fry. Now, it doesn't come with coleslaw and fries and all of that stuff. But you can get a side of donut.
Well,
I just thought that was a really, really unique thing. I've never seen a Friday morning fish fry.
Well, that's good if you work in third shift. And you just get home from work and you want dinner, and you got the fish fry right there in Kenosha.
Oh.
Well, that's good.
Now, we asked the owner, you know, because we're like, well, how long has this been going on and why? How did it start? And she said, well, I don't really know. I've worked here and owned this for over 40 years, and we've always done it that way. So, and most of the fish and shrimp is pre-order, and so it's taken. So if you walk in, you might get some, you might not, you know, but they do a whopping business with people lined up out the door every Friday morning. It's one of those quirky things that we found out about, and we're like, no, we have to go check this out. So we drove down there just to check it out, and yeah, it's true, and it's very good.
Well, there's another donut story in your book we read last night, the Paul Bunyan Cook Shanty in Wisconsin Dells, where people come in and just buy the donuts.
Yes. Because, I mean, we've eaten there, and the donuts are incredible. And that's what people know is the donuts. But the thing that's quirky about that is, you know, Wisconsin's big old lumberjack, you know, back in the 1800s and early 1900s. So, but the donuts were a staple of, so it's true, they were a staple of the lumberjack camp. Every morning the cooks had donuts, and sometimes they would even bring them out to the woods. Where the men were working, when they brought their lunch out, they would bring donuts too. So that's why they do it, and they really are incredible donuts.
Have you had any of those?
I don't know. I went there years and years ago when my daughter was little, but if it's food, I probably had it. I don't usually.
Yeah, they're donuts.
Yeah, no, I don't remember if I had their donuts there. I did eat breakfast there, though. I know that. We're going to take a quick break on the other side. I know we said we're going to talk about your stories, but. I know, I promise that. We'll talk. We'll get your stories in there. Do you have anything in the book about that flagpole in Sheboygan? Did you ever see that flagpole?
No.
It's the tallest flagpole in America. My wife and I were there. We stopped by there. This thing is huge. The flag weighs over 250 pounds and has to be replaced every 3 months. It's a hollow flagpole for men and women, whoever worked there, to go up and down to do the flag. You do it from the inside. And it's...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, we didn't know that.
Well, you got to look it up. It's the biggest flagpole in the... I'll send you pictures. I'll email them to you. I'll text them to you. The biggest flagpole in America, and it's in Sheboygan. It's an insurance... Go ahead.
It's on the... Acuity? Is that the...
Yes, Acuity. Oh, okay. That's it. That's the one the insurance company owns it. Yep.
Have you seen the mashed potato or the potato masher yet?
No.
The world's largest potato masher?
No, but hold that thought.
Okay.
I know I said I was going to get to your favorite one, so I promise I will. We're talking to Tom Mattis and Christy Flick Mattis, who wrote the book Secret Wisconsin, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. And we're talking for another few minutes to Tom Mattis and Christy Flick Mattis. They wrote the book Secret Wisconsin, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. Now, I did promise you'd get some of your stories in there. Give us a couple of yours now, and I won't bring up any more of mine. So go ahead.
So we're not really supposed to say they're our favorites, but this one really is probably my favorite one in the entire book. In Janesville, there's the Cozy Inn. It's above an Irish pub, and let me add too that before I get into this, we wrote the book because we want people to get out and see things, take a road trip, and so there's something close to you no matter where you're at in the state. We made sure that we put stuff around the entire state so somebody has something close to you, and so if you want to experience everything in the book, it will only cost you $64.80. Because we like cheap and low cost because, you know, to be honest, I mean, it's expensive for families to get out and do things. So on that same note, the Cozy Inn in Janesville, we called it the traveling egg rolls because it's the egg rolls are a two-a-day recipe. And people will travel when they come back to Janesville from all over the country, and they will bring a cooler, and they'll order ahead of time 30, 40, even 100 egg rolls at a time, and they'll take them back on the plane, in a cooler, or in the car, wherever they're going. So that got our attention. We thought that was kind of quirky, right? But the Cozy Inn started. It's the second oldest Chinese restaurant in the nation that's been at the same location. So it's been there for over 100 years, and it started when the owner, now owner's mom, she was a popular Chinese chef at several Milwaukee restaurants. She wanted to open her own Chinese restaurant. So bought the Cozy Inn in Janesville. And then the son, him and his wife, they run it now. And it tells you how old it's been. He's been there. They're getting ready to retire soon. But he grew up there as a kid, him and his brother. But if you go in, it's so cool because it's got the same benches when they open. It's got an old phone booth from the 20s, old wooden phone booth. People go in there and they still make phone calls because it's so quiet and it's silent. And, of course, you know, you want to get the selfie. But the other thing about that, too, is the owner's dad was one of the six Chinese survivors from the Titanic.
Whoa.
And he was the last rescued from the wreckage. He was the last person rescued. They found him floating on a big piece of wood. Many say that it was one of the stateroom doors. And James Cameron, who made the movie Titanic,
right, yeah.
He made a documentary about the story called The Six. So there's a lot of depth there, and there's a lot of things there. But the egg rolls are important. And if you want to try an egg roll, it's $2.35. And the $2.35 comes into play with the entire book to experience the entire book of $64.80.
If you wanted to do everything in this book, $64.80. That's not bad.
That doesn't include like if you want to buy a donut at Oliver's Bakery or, but
but you know, and donations. Most of the stuff in the book is free.
So here's something else for your next book. Downtown Racine, again, I pass it every day, is the Racine Art Museum. It's called the RAM, Racine Art Museum. One time it was a bank, and it was a bank that was robbed by John Dillinger. He took a hostage from the bank, and in the movie with Johnny Depp, they even talk about the bank he robbed in Racine. And it's right. And the building's still there. It's the Racine Art Museum today.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great. Now, we have, we'll add it to our list. We have over 500 things for our second edition, which we don't know when that's coming yet. But our next book is Historic Wisconsin Roadsides. It's going to be released on April 1st.
No joke.
No joke.
That's tough to do something on April. We were going to change the format back in 1991, change the format of our FM station here, and they wanted to do it April 1st. They said, oh, no. No one's going to believe it. So do it April 2nd. Hey, you guys are great. We're going to have you back, and your new book is coming out April 1st?
Yes.
So let me know about that, because I want to have you back to promote that book as well. But we're going to have you back because there's so much, 80-some-odd stories in this book, and we just did a couple of them, not even 10 of them. Secret Wisconsin, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure, Tom Manis and Christy Flick Manis. Christy's an original Wisconsin native, and Tom is a transplant from down south. Where down south?
Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh, Asheville, okay.
Outside of Dallas, Texas.
Yeah, okay, yeah, okay.
I rescued him down there.
What's that?
I rescued him.
Y'all. I tell people I lived in Atlanta, y'all. Okay. Hey, guys, hold on the line. Hold on, don't go anywhere, okay? And okay. By the way, you can get this book anywhere you get books. You get it at your local bookstore, Amazon, and any chain bookstore. You can get it all, but you guys recommend go to your local bookstore to try to buy it first. And see if they can get it for you. Secret Wisconsin, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. Tom Manis and Christy Flick Manis.